Morning, church. I'm praying that the Lord really visits our young adults who are off on retreat this morning and that they come back on fire next week. So, wow. Paolo wore long pants today. I think Jesus might be coming back. Wow, it's a morning to remember. Okay, focus. Do you know who you really are? Do you really know who Jesus is for you? A lot of people maybe sort of do, but maybe don't. If we're really going to get it, there's four questions that we need to have answers to. First question, where are you going? You got to know where you're going. What's your destiny? If you don't know where you're going, guess what? You're likely to get lost along the way. Second question, who are you following? Who you follow makes a big difference. Are they trustworthy? Do they have the ability to get you in the right spot? Follow the wrong person, and once again, you get lost. Three, who's your family? Who do you belong to? You know, if you don't have the right family, you don't understand your family, you don't appreciate your family, guess what? You can get lost again. You got to have the right family. Four, who are you looking to help you when life gets tough? Look to the wrong person, you're going to get let down, end up lost. That's what our passage this morning is all about. The answers to those questions. We're going through the book of Hebrews. The previous weeks, the writer has been like extolling to us the supremacy of Christ and how great he is. This week, he turns his attention to what we have in Christ. Who we are, where we're going, who do we belong to in Christ. Those questions today. And it's kind of a long passage. I'm going to read it also. If you're struggling to read your Bible today, you're going to read your Bible, or at least I'm reading it to you. It's going to take a little bit. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 5 and going all the way to verse 18. It all hangs together in the end, you'll see. And furthermore, sort of, and on top of the supremacy of Christ, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. For in one place, the scriptures say, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet for a little while, you made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. And you gave them authority over all things. Now, when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. For he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. He also said, I will put my trust in him. That is, I and the children God has given me. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. And since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. This is the word of the Lord. All right. First thing, where are you going? What he says is, we got a great future. It's actually shocking, like amazing what he says. It's sort of like, you have to like read it twice. Verses 5 through 8, you know, he quotes Psalm 8 saying, you know, what is man that God should care about them? And a lot of times that might be how we feel, like, is God paying attention to me? What, who am I that God would think about me? But he goes on to say that though for a little while humans are a little lower than the angels, they will be crowned with glory and honor. That's you and me. We will be crowned with glory and honor, and this is what's amazing, have authority over all things. You and I are going to have authority over all things. And he makes a special point of saying all things means nothing is left out. So that means everything in the universe, both physical and spiritual, we will have authority over with Christ in the future world. Do you understand? Like, that's just like incredible. We were made by God and intended by God to rule with Christ the whole universe, both physical and spiritual, and everything that is in it. It wasn't for the angels. Nope. It's for you and me. And in that sense, we are already crowned with glory and honor. You know, we think the angels are glorious and it would be something special to see them. Although the interesting thing is everybody in the Bible who does, the first thing they have to say is, don't be afraid. But actually, the angels are only servants. What's truly impressive is you and me, because we are with Christ, will rule the angels and everything else. We are the ones who will inherit the full salvation of the kingdom of God. You might think of yourself as a nobody, as unimportant, or you may think of yourself only in terms of, you know, this breaking down mortal body. Some of us are more in tune with that than others. But what you need to hear is that in Jesus and through Jesus, we are heirs together of everything. Now, think about it like this. Let's say you're a billionaire and you got some kids and you want to like give them money. But the thing is, some of them are like 12. And you want to give them $100 million, but you're not going to give a 12-year-old $100 million. In fact, you might not even give them $10. So what you do is you set up a trust fund. And the trust fund belongs to that kid. So you take that kid and you give him $100 million in a trust fund. It's his. But they don't get to use it or control it until they get to be a certain age. Maybe They have to be 25 or maybe 30. Or if you think they're really stupid, maybe 40. You know, so it's theirs, but they don't get to enjoy the benefits of it yet. That's a trust fund. And the interesting thing, of course, you know, I was grew up and, you know, we'd hear about trust fund kids. Kids who were living with an inheritance that belonged to them, but that they couldn't use yet. They were under the trust fund. And even though they didn't really have any more spending money than the rest of us, they had a whole different attitude about life. Because they know that when they get to be whatever age it was going to be, all of a sudden, they would have the benefit of this giant trust fund. Well, guess what? You and I, all of us who belong to Jesus, we are all trust fund kids. And it's the biggest trust fund of all time. The richest man in the world right now is worth about $400 billion, although maybe that was last week. It might be less this week. But I'm here to tell you, whatever it is, it's peanuts. And of course, he won't even get to keep it. You know, you'll have to leave it all behind when you die. But it is so small in comparison to your trust fund that's kept in heaven for you, it's not even worth talking about. Because your trust fund is to become a co-owner, it says, of all things in creation. That's all the 400 billions many times over, right? It's in heaven waiting for you until the appointed day when you'll receive it. So hold up your head. Don't be discouraged. You have an inheritance. It's yours. It's being kept for you right now in heaven. Now we wait. Now we suffer. Now we struggle sometimes, but our day is coming. Our day is coming. And in the meantime, nothing can touch it. Nothing can touch your trust fund. Nuh-uh. Or take it away. No scam can get to your trust fund. No thieves, no corruption, no disaster can take it away from you. Even death itself cannot rob you. No, we've got a great future. A fabulous future because of Jesus. Number two, we've got a great leader. You know, right now, he says, it doesn't seem much like we're crowned with glory and honor. The author says, you know, we have not yet seen all things put under humanity's authority. Uh-uh. Not yet. Life can be difficult. Life can be disappointing. Suffering's all around us. You know, you look at human affairs in the world right now, it seems pretty messed up, pretty messy, pretty broken. We don't look like glorious heirs. But, he says, but we do see Jesus. We can see Jesus. And if we look at Jesus, what we see is a Jesus who was made like us, who was born from a woman, who tasted death and suffering, who became a human being, but who is now crowned with glory and honor. Right now, he's seated at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, crowned with glory, with all authority and power at his hands. And yet he is still human. You have to understand, Jesus did not leave his body behind. That body was transformed into an immortal body, and he took it into heaven with him. And is seated at the right hand, which means there is a human being with a human body seated at the right hand of God right now. And it was a real body. He could still be touched by human hands. He still had the scars from the cross on that body. He could eat with people, with the disciples. They could eat. And he's in heaven right now. And we can see him. And we can know he's one of us. And he's gone on ahead. He's an heir already. And we will join him one day. And so in this way, he's become the perfect leader to bring us, the many children, into our full salvation inheritance. So you follow Jesus, and he will get you there to your full inheritance. He will get you there. He is, in effect, become the manager of your eternal trust fund. And it's all in his hands. Well, that being the case, it's probably a good idea to put your whole life and future in his hands. Put it in his hands, because he's the only one who's both powerful enough and trustworthy enough to handle your future and get you where you're supposed to go. And while you're waiting, keep your eyes on Jesus and not on yourself. Remember, it won't always be this way. You know, it's tough times we're living in now. It won't always be this way. We've got a great inheritance waiting for us at the right time. And if we just keep following Jesus step by step, he will lead us where we need to go to receive our full inheritance. Understand this. There's going to be some times in life when it seems like you can't figure out what's happening. Like, what's happening? Why is this happening to me? Or you can't figure out what to do. It'll be as if you can't see the road. You might almost think God's abandoned me. But he hasn't. You just can't see. You just don't understand. But you can always see Jesus. And you can follow him. You may not know where he's going, and you may not know what his plan is or why he's turning this way and not that way, but if you follow him, he'll get you where you're supposed to go. He knows what's happening, and he knows where it's going. And he will lead you to the green pastures and the good things that you are meant to have. Now, you know, when we were trying to get a building to meet in as a church family, we had a big struggle and a lot of disappointments. It took about 5 years to end up in this place. And during that 5 years, I could not figure out what in the world God was doing. And I complained about it loudly to God. I said to him, you give the Muslims buildings, you give the Jews buildings, you give the Catholics get a building, the Methodists get a building, the Baptists have a building, the Mormons get a building. Everybody gets a building, but for us, nothing. Generally, it's better to like talk out your frustrations with God than not to. And that's what I was doing, but I couldn't understand. I couldn't see. But then at the very end of this kind of long and winding road, suddenly we were able to get this building, which was the biggest building with the biggest car park of any church in the city of Evanston. I couldn't see it, but Jesus led us there. So you hang on to Jesus even when you can't see. Yeah? All right, number three, we got a great family. This is the question of who are your people? And who is our family? Well, the answer is simple and actually also kind of shocking, because he says, we are in the same family with Jesus. And he is, in effect, our older brothers. He calls us his brothers and sisters. We have the same father. Now, the way we would say this here in Chicago would be, you need to know that we've got people in high places. You've got people in high places, my friend. You're not just like, you know, bottom of the pile people. No, you got people in high places. Family is, of course, all about who you belong to and who's looking out for you. In a good family, you can always count on them to support you and love you no matter what. If you get in trouble, they're right there with you. And the good news is that in our family, our older brother Jesus is looking out for us. And he's watching us. And he has all authority and power in heaven and earth. He's got the power. He's got the power. He's got the power over kings and presidents and dictators and whoever else is up for the moment. He has got the power over society and diseases and all that stuff that we deal with in this world. He's got the power over fear and anxiety. He's got the power over all those things we struggle with. He's got the power. He's got the power over good people and bad people. So you have somebody who's got the power who is looking out for you. He's got you. He's got you. He's got you. You don't have, what if Jesus has the power and he's got you and he's looking out for you, what is left to be afraid of? You don't need to worry. You don't need to give up just because things are hard right now. Because he's got the future. It's all packed up and ready to go. The Bible actually says he will work out everything together for good towards us. It doesn't say everything is good, but it says he will work it all together for good to us. Everything. Everything. And why? Because you're part of the greatest family in the universe, and you're looked after every day, every minute. He's watching. In the daytime, he's watching over you. In the nighttime, he's watching over you. When you're sick, he's watching over you. When you're on your way to school or on your way to work, he's watching over you. When you're driving down the highway, he's watching over you. When you feel alone, he's watching over you. When you can't even pray and you're hurting so bad that you feel like you have no faith, guess what? He's still watching over you. His eye is on you. His eye is on you, your family, and he's got you. And so, number four, we have a great helper. We have the best help it's possible to get. Our help comes from the one who joined us in our humanity and in our suffering and even in our dying. It says he was tested in all ways as we are. What are you struggling with? What's testing you? What's hard for you? Well, Jesus was struggling. He was tested in those ways too. You know, he knows, he understands. And so he is perfectly able to help us and strengthen us in our time of need. He conquered death for us and set us free from slavery to fear. And if he can help with that, then there's nothing he can't help with. Why do you need help with today? Well, you've got a great helper. Why not turn to him? Ask him for the help you need. You can, it's true. You can just ask him. He's your helper. He's here to help you. That's his part of his job. That's what he wants to do. He wants to help us. You can ask him for the help you need, and you can get it anytime, any day, for big things and little things. You know, about 20 years ago, we had these little boxes called iPods. Now, some of you, you don't know what an iPod is. But, you know, we didn't have phones that you could put music on and all that other stuff and pictures. So we had iPods instead, which is a little kind of extra device that you had that you could put your music on and you could listen to it. So Cindy and I had a trip to Iowa on a weekend, and we were speaking. And I spoke on Saturday, and she was speaking on Sunday morning, and then we were going to come home. And so Sunday morning rolls around. We pack up everything from the hotel room and take it out to the car, stick it in the car, and I couldn't find my iPod. And I looked in all my pockets, and we looked in the suitcases, and we looked in the car, and we looked and looked, and couldn't find my iPod. And we finally had to leave and go to the church because the service was getting ready to start, and she had to preach, so we had to go. So we went to the service, and they're in the worship, and all I can do is think about, I lost my iPod. And finally, I said to the Lord, I lost my iPod. And I could just go home and buy another one, but that's kind of a waste of kingdom resources. Could you just, like, show me where my iPod is, and then we could all be happy? And in about 15 seconds, I got a picture in my mind of my iPod lying under the corner of the bedspread in the hotel room on the floor, lying on the floor with the bedspread covering it, and it was of the particular bed there, you know, and that it was under there. And it was so clear, I got up and left. Because she was gonna preach. I jumped in the car, drove back to the hotel, convinced him to let me back in the room, went in the room, went straight to that bed and looked at that corner and picked up the bedspread, and there was my iPod. I asked for help, and I got it. And what I want to say to you is, you can ask for help. You can ask for help. You can ask for help. And he will help you. You know what? We're rich. We are rich in so many ways. Rich beyond measure and imagination. But some of you are still living with a mindset of poverty. We got people in high places, but some of us still think of ourselves as nobodies. We belong to the greatest family ever, and yet many of us are still living like we're orphans. We feel like we have to do everything for ourselves, or feel like we have to beg God to help us, like he doesn't want to help us. But that's not, none of that stuff is true. He's your father, and he's watching over you and delighting in you. You're part of the greatest family ever, and you've got a great future. And you got people, and you are free. Free from fear, free from slavery to the evil one, free from our own evil desires. We've been freed from the sting of death itself. And yet, so many of us might still live as slaves instead of heirs. But it doesn't have to be. We can start living like trust fund kids, knowing who we really are and where we're really going and who we really belong to and who our helper really is. Let's stand. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come and impress on our hearts and our minds the truth of what we have in you. In the midst of darkness, Lord, help us remember what we have. And may you break that poverty mentality. May you break that orphan mentality, that nobody mentality, that slave mentality. Break those mentalities. Don't let them have control over us anymore and over our thinking, but let us be confident. Even in the midst of troubled, dark times, let us be confident and unshakable because we know who we are. In the name of Jesus, let it be so. Amen. Amen.